Dear Heavenly Father, in this study of stewardship of what you've given us, and you've given us everything, we thank you for teaching us maybe some new things, drawing our attention to things we have neglected. And we just pray that you would change our lives. We want to reflect you. We want to live our lives devoted to you in every way. And today we're going to talk about health, and we just pray that that would be something that we can truly hand over to you if we haven't already. Bless this time and bless the service afterwards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, everybody get the handout? On the back page or one of the pages, it has the course outline. And we're all the way down to sessions 10 and 11. This is going to be 10. And so we're whipping our way through this. And we've looked at how Christians should use their money and their time in God's service. And today we're going to look at another gift from God, and that's our health. It may be easier to get used to the idea that God owns our money and our time, but have we really considered that he owns our health? Isn't our body our own? Shouldn't that be something that we have control over? Perhaps you've never really thought about it, but just because God gave us our bodies, does that mean that we can use or abuse them as we wish? Or should our bodies, our health, be used for God's purposes, just like our money and our time should be? It may seem strange, but if we use our bodies in the way God proposes for them to be used, then we actually have tremendous freedom. But when it comes to our health, we tend to only ask God questions when something's going wrong. So what are some of the questions we ask about our health? Think of some questions that you've asked about your health. Why does it hurt so bad? I think anybody could has asked that question. Other questions? Yes. Are supplements really worth the money? That's a really great question. Yeah.
Well, when I decided to serve him, he's been helping me with my health.
Good, good. Things like, why am I sick today? Why did God allow me to get this cancer? Why won't God heal me? But do we ask why questions when we're healthy? We tend to take good health for granted. How can we be good stewards of our health if we never ask God why he gave us our health in the first place? Let's compare how non-Christians would answer the question, why is health important? Why should we take care of our health? So a non-Christian might say, so we can live longer. So we can be happier, be successful, be independent in life. But there's some other answers that believers should be giving to that question, why is health important? Can you think of some? It's the temple of God. Yes, very good, very good. We can use our health to praise God. To serve him. And we are temples. That's exactly right. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Those are pretty strong words. You're not your own. You belong to God. Your health belongs to God. Shouldn't there be a difference between the way unbelievers and Christians are concerned about how they view their health? If we truly are living our lives as if we are stewards of all God has given us, then we should view our health as belonging to God. So that's the starting point. Our health belongs to God. God made us. God owns us. And if that's true, then there are some rules that go along with that. What's the next verse in 1 Corinthians 6 after Verse 19, it says, well, I'll start with 19 and read through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What Paul is warning us about is sexual immorality and many other misuses of our bodies. But sometimes these verses are also used to justify self-serving behaviors. I've got to care for my body. I'll treasure it and spoil it in God's name, which may take us too far. We may obsess about our diet more than we need to. We may become fixated on shaping our body just right. Or we may do anything to fight aging off. We can take the care of our bodies to unhealthy extremes. We can go overboard and actually make our bodies less useful for Christ. Our temple can easily become an idol. We do need to care for our bodies, but the reason should always be because our bodies belong to God, because we want to glorify God in our body. Do we really accept that God owns our body? And does that give God the right to do as he pleases with our bodies? Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See now that I am he, and there is no good God, there is no gods beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand." So what does that really mean? God can make us sick or well. He can make us energetic or tired. He can do whatever serves his purposes. God has the right because he not only created us, but he bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has the right to spend our health in any way he chooses. That would be frightening if we didn't know that God is for us. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So when you think God has chosen something bad for you, remember there is something good behind it. Psalm 56:8 says, "You have put my tears in your bottle." He knows every tear that we weep. He knows every pain that we have. God loves us. He's for us. Anything he allows to happen to us is for our good, for our ultimate joy, and for his glory. That's one of the hardest things to keep in mind, but it offers the greatest peace. So there are two biblical principles that are foundational for discussing our health. Number one, our health comes from God. We've sort of hit that. We don't have the right to complain about poor health any more than we have a right to boast about good health. Our health comes from God, and our job is to trust him. The second biblical principle that's foundational in discussing our health is that we are to use our health for God. Just like our money and our time, our health isn't split between serving ourselves and serving God. All the health God gives us is his and is to be spent entirely for his purposes. Fortunately, his purposes include that we must be faithful in caring for our health. We are stewards of our health, and we are expected to take care of it. And ultimately, our health is his and is to be spent for his purposes. So, if God owns our health, then what does he want us to do with it? What are God's purposes for our health? The author points out three different purposes. The first is to illustrate God's kingdom. You may not have thought of it that way, but our health is to demonstrate God's kingdom. Romans 8 talks about the groaning of creation because of sin. And all of creation is subject to corruption, including human sickness. We live in a fallen world. So when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he did so in part by restoring people's physical health. Old Testament prophets said that when the Messiah would come, that he would perform miraculous deeds. And indeed, Jesus did. What did Jesus tell John the Baptist's disciples when they asked him who he was? Matthew 11:4-6. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus demonstrated his power by healing because his coming was the beginning of making all things new. And at the end of his ministry, Jesus went on to defeat sin at the cross and death at his resurrection, which was clearly pointing to his making all things new. However, even today, God's kingdom has not been fully realized, and it won't be until Jesus returns. And that's why we still groan with all of creation, for God to remake the world when he comes back. But he has started. And what Jesus did in restoring health during his ministry here on earth is a picture of what God is doing with the world. So how do we fit into his purpose? The illustrating God's kingdom of making all things new. Well, next week we're going to talk about stewarding sickness and poor health. But today we need to realize that when we're sick and then recover, that's a mini picture of the redemption of the body and a reminder of the larger picture, the macro picture of what God's doing in our lives. If you've never thought about the healing process, it's amazing. And as a physician who spent a lot of time with, I assisted at C-sections and I went to a lot of different bad things and so forth. But I got to tell you a story about Shotgun Al. And I may have told this to a few people, but I need to tell it. When I was in residency in Tucson, out in the sticks, way out in the middle of nowhere, like further than Tuscarora would be from us, there was a ranch out there, and the husband had to travel a lot. And his wife was at home taking care of kids, and she was pregnant. And she heard a noise, and she was afraid that there was a prowler, and that would be a bad place to have a prowler out in the middle of nowhere. So she went into the closet and reached up on top of the closet to get the gun. The gun fell, hit the floor, and discharged, and shot her right through the uterus. She was pregnant. Somehow she got hold of the helicopter. They came out and took her in, and she spent over a week in the intensive care unit. At first, the baby's heart rate could not be heard, but it started to come back. And after a week, she was well enough to go home. She went home, and I think she was about 20 weeks pregnant when the gunshot occurred. 4 weeks later, 24 weeks, which is back in the early 80s, this was really not a very viable age. At 24 weeks, she went into labor. And she had a baby that had a gunshot wound through his thigh that was completely healed. I mean, they talk about the uterus being the best place to have a baby kept inside as long as possible. And that's exactly right. It's a sterile environment where God can do his thing. He had a crease in his thigh. That's all he had. So Gunshot Al walks around with proof that healing is miraculous. It was great. He did fine. By the way, when there's stress on a baby, there's steroids that are released in your body. And steroids mature the lungs. At 24 weeks, most babies can't survive without a ventilator and so forth because their lungs aren't mature enough. He did not need a ventilator. He just needed to grow a little bit. He's like less than a pound. We had to put some weight on him, but that's it. Gunshot Al. Remember that story when you're thinking about healing and what God can do. Health is a gift that we should praise God for. It should encourage us in the hope that God will make all things new. And it should move us to tell others about the grace of God in the gospel. After all, our spiritual health is more important than our physical health. So the first purpose of our health is to illustrate God's kingdom. It's making all things new. The second purpose of our health is to serve. Philippians 1, 21 through 26 says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." How many of us can look at our health with Paul's optimistic attitude? To live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul sees that his purpose for health has to do with the needs of others. He could live and labor for those in Philippi, or he could die and be with Christ. Paul doesn't see health as the better of two options, but he puts the purpose of his health in God's hands for God's purpose. A significant part of why God gives us health is so that we can spend it on others, so we can serve. If we aren't spending our health, then we're hoarding it. Our body, our health, has been given to us to use, not to simply preserve. Putting our bodies to good use is an act of worship. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Serving is worshiping God. So what does serving God with our bodies look like? We sacrifice our bodies and our health to raise our kids or to care for our elder family members. We sacrifice our bodies in physical labor throughout our lives to provide for our families. Sometimes we sacrifice our sleep in times to serve others. Sometimes we need to make decisions about quality of life and quantity of life related to medical care for family members or for ourselves. And remembering that our health is a gift from God, we have a responsibility to care for our bodies as good stewards. That is caring for our bodies with a purpose so we can continue to serve. Can anyone think of any other examples of how our bodies can be used in service? Yes. Absolutely. That's very good. There is an example in the Bible. There's many examples in the Bible. But if you can turn to Philippians 2, starting in verse 25. Philippians 2, verse 25 to 30. This talks about somebody who served with his body. "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my needs. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So I don't know what Epaphroditus did, but it almost killed him. He was using it in service to God. He helped out Paul, and he actually helped out a lot of people, obviously. And then obviously the most perfect example of sacrificing his health. What? Christ. This is my body, which is given for you. Remember that today when we do communion. So we've seen that God's purpose for our health includes to illustrate God's kingdom and to serve. A third purpose is to rightly enjoy God's creation. It's a faithful servant, it's a faithful steward who delights in his master. We should delight in God. God is glorified when we take joy in serving him. And a joyful steward is one who makes the master's desires his own. Jesus willingly obeyed his Father and even laid down his life for all of us. Should we grumble and complain because we would rather do our own thing? A faithful steward is thankful and trusting in the goodness and direction of his master. And when it comes to our health, our bodies, God wants us to enjoy his creation. 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In Paul's day, there were teachers who said that it's more spiritual to abstain from marriage and certain foods. And there's certain people who say that today as well. You have to abstain from things of the world that God has given us to enjoy. But Paul points out that these things are part of God's creation and not to be rejected if received with thanksgiving. Our bodies are also created by God, and he intended for us to enjoy them. And this should lead us to give thanks to God. God blessed us with our bodies that are intended to experience sensual, temporal pleasures of his creation. But these pleasures can't be the end unto themselves. Pleasure should always point us to God, giving him thanks. Our giving thanks is an act of worship that praises God as the source of what we enjoy. So what does this look like in real life? What sort of things that God has given you that you're exposed to that your body can enjoy because of God's creation? Food. Excellent. You know, we say grace before meals, but how often do we say, thank you for, you know, my stomach's really growling and I was hungry and thanks for satisfying that. The food really tastes great. If you don't have your taste buds, food's not as enjoyable. If you do, thank God for your taste buds. It gives us pleasure to eat. We should thank God for our mental health that guides daily decisions. We should thank God for whatever physical abilities we may have, even if they're not what we would want them to be. We should thank God when we simply enjoy his creation, those mountains. snow falling. I know all people don't like snow, but you can't deny that it's beautiful. If you sit in a warm room and look out the window, that's a sign that God loves us. And if married, we should thank God for the pleasure and intimacy that we share with the spouse that God has given us. God wants us to enjoy his creation with our bodies. The key is to be thankful for what God has given us in creating our bodies as they interact with the rest of creation. And if we always keep in mind that our health exists for God and not for us, God's purposes is to enjoy his creation, but he wants us to enjoy it rightly. Remember, we are stewards of our body and our health. There is a right way and a wrong way to enjoy God's creation. There's a right way and a wrong way to enjoy our bodies. What is the wrong way to enjoy God's creation? When we don't acknowledge God for what he has provided. Or when we give our bodies to sinful pleasures and abuse God's creation. Pleasures such as these can harm our bodies and will never give us the kind of joy that satisfies. Addiction is an example, such as addiction to alcohol or drugs, sinful food, sexual sin or food. You know, last night, Wayne and I were at the jail, and a guy sat right there in front of us, and he admitted, he says, "I am addicted to drugs, and I know when I get out of here, I'm going to go right back to him." He'd spent time in prison already. He's addicted. There's, you know, the only way to get out of that is through Christ. Addiction often delivers a bodily experience that makes us feel good, but also can make us feel ill. But that's the wrong way to enjoy God's creation. Addiction is idolatry, and the addict becomes a slave to the physical desires of the body, which frequently jeopardizes their health. Another wrong way to enjoy God's creation is by neglecting or ignoring our physical needs. If we don't use our bodies in the way God intended, we'll suffer for it. But when we use our bodies in the way God intended and obey him, we not only acknowledge his goodness, but we find freedom to enjoy as God intended. So it is good to exercise and do the things that we need to do to keep ourselves fit. We enjoy both the health he gives us and our bodies, and we enjoy the ability he gives us to enjoy his creation by doing so. Health has purpose to God because he uses it to show us his creation, and his creation loudly proclaims his praise. So the biblical principles about our health: number one, our health comes from God. Number two, we are to use our health for God, for his purposes, for our health. And those purposes are three, at least, that he mentioned: to illustrate God's kingdom, to serve, and to rightly enjoy God's creation. There's a concluding paragraph that the author put in the information I got. Let me just read it. So to conclude, the wonderful thing about the Christian faith is that while we're called to spend our bodies for God's kingdom, we know that in God's kingdom we'll receive new bodies. It's not that we spend ourselves because our bodies are unimportant. No. We spend ourselves because we know that they're just version 1.0. We can lean into heaven because Paul's wonderful words in Philippians 3:21, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body." That's the promise when he will make all things new. Any questions? We did end early. I predicted that. Comments? Okay, it's time for recess. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the bodies you've given us. And Lord, we live at a time when health, it comes so easily because there's so many options that you've provided for healing, for helping us out. But we know that you are behind all the healing. We thank you. Help us to look at our bodies as a means to serve you, to glorify you, to show others your kingdom, how you're making all things new. And we just pray that we will live lives that are truly enjoyed because of your creation in the right way. We thank you for this time. We pray for the service to come. We thank you for all these folks. In Jesus' name, amen.